Second Samuel, ninth chapter, Second Samuel. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse 1, ninth chapter, Second Samuel. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan, whom hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." And then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" And then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul, to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son shall have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall not eat shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. And as for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Father, I certainly thank you again today for the portion of scripture which we've read. Thank you for the wonderful truth that's found therein. Thank you, Lord, that's all that's went before us today, the singing, the praying, the giving, Lord, the children's churches and all of the things that that take place in this place. And Father, once again, though, this preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom. I need you, Father. You know the need of my life, and I ask you, please, to help me as I preach, to empower me and use me, that the word of God will go forth, and Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God will be able to take it to the hearts of those in need. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is a wonderful, wonderful story of a man by the name of Mephibosheth. He was the son of Jonathan. Jonathan, if you remember, was Saul's son. And Jonathan and David had a wonderful, wonderful relationship. I look at it in the Bible, I kind of feel like sometimes it's a type of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way I look at it sometimes. I think it's a good picture of that. But anyway, in verse number 1, you notice that there's a picture here of the wonderful grace of God. In chapter 9, verse 1, David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" You know, God's grace is just wonderful. David come and he said, "I'm looking for someone out of Jonathan's household that I could show some grace and show some kindness to him." So it's a beautiful picture of the grace of God. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:12, "I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." The only reason your sin and my sin is forgiven is because of Jesus' sake. It's completely and fully. It's nothing else but the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. And that's why we don't ever want to get proud and think that God forgave us because he saw something good in us. No, he forgave us because of Jesus, his wonderful son, and what his son done on the cross of Calvary. It's a complete, fully grace of God Almighty. Over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, God tells all of us, he says, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, he's telling us it's for Christ's sake we forgive. That's why. It's because of Jesus. You say, well, how can I forgive this person? Because for Christ's sake. God forgave you. Amen. Isn't that true? The grace of God. God forgave you. God forgave me. And it was for Christ's sake. That's why we can forgive. That's why we've been forgiven. It's a wonderful, wonderful grace of God, you see. So it was for Christ's sake, you see. Now, where did they find Mephibosheth? And what kind of condition was he in? We're just going to look at that for a few moments. First of all, he was lame of feet. In fact, let's go back to 2 Samuel, the fourth chapter, for just a moment there. We'll find out how he became lame in feet. And verse 4 of chapter 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and become lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Find out that this was during the time when the battle, when Jonathan and Saul, his father, was killed. Word came. And so this nurse taking care of Mephibosheth, he was 5 years old, took him up. Somewhere along the line, they fell. And he became lame of feet. It must have been a horrible fall. Must have hit his feet something terrible the way he landed. I don't know all it was, but it caused his feet, both feet, to be lame, you see. That's what Mephibosheth is. He's a picture of you and I. We're lame. We're lame of feet. We're lame. We're in sin, the bondage of sin, you see. So Mephibosheth here is a picture of folk like you and I. You see, we need help. We need somebody to help us. And that someone is Jesus. He's the only one can really help us, you see. But he's a picture here of one that is lame in feet. You see, where did our sin come from? Well, if you go back, the fall of Mephibosheth was because of a nurse that grabbed him, meant very well, and fell. But, you know, it's that way with you and I. The reason we're old sinners, the reason we're lost and hopelessly without hope, without Christ, that is because of another. Adam fell. And because of that, sin fell upon all men. You understand what I'm saying to you? You can't help but be lost. You're lost unless you're without Christ, because all men are. Everybody's sin comes short of God's glory. Amen? You agree with that? That's just simple preaching. See, that's just simple truths. We all are there. How did we get there? Well, because of the fall of Adam way back. Passed upon all of us, you see. Amen? Came upon all of us, see. Bible says in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, God laid all your iniquity and my iniquity on Jesus. Are you with me on that? You see, he laid it all on Jesus, you see. Why? Because you and I we couldn't carry it. We'd never get to heaven. But God laid all the iniquity, yours and mine and of the whole world, on Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. It's good that he did that. All right, so we find out what a condition he was. He was lost. He was hopelessly lost, represented by the lame feet. All right. We find him also down with a man by the name of Mashir. The word Mashir means soul. He was living down here in the household of Mashir, and it means sold. You and I are all sold unto bondage. You know, I wish, and I don't know how to do it, but I wish I could get a hold of your heart just a little bit today, and I wish that you'd understand how sold you really are, and I am, without Christ. You see, we're in the bondage of sin. Do you understand that? If I would ask you, are you in bondage of sin today? I mean, is that where you were? You'd have to shake your head, yes, I am. I'm in bondage of sin, you see. If you don't do that, you're not understanding the gospel. You're not understanding where you are. You need to recognize where you are. You're in bondage of sin. See, without Christ, we're in the bondage of sin. We're lost, hopelessly lost. Amen? And so he was sold. You see, he was sold in bondage of sin. Over in Romans, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." But he said, "But I am carnal, sold under sin." See, we're just sold in the bondage of sin. Now, if you've never been saved, listen to me. If you've never truly been saved, you're sold under sin. You're in the bondage of sin this morning. Amen? You're just like Mephibosheth here. You're sold. Amen? And then we find out he was in the place called Lodibar. And that's it's interesting what Lodibar means, because it means without pasture. Means without pasture. He was down in a place, sold unto sin, and he was without pasture. I want to tell you, that's not a good way to be, a good place to be. There's a lot of folks without pasture today. They don't realize it, but they're grazing over in old Satan's pasture. That's where they're grazing. They're grazing over. They don't realize it. They think they got something to eat, something good to eat, but they don't realize that they're grazing over in old Satan's pasture. And here at Lodibar means without pasture. And God's the only one. The king was the only one could get him out of that place and give him a better place, you see. I want to ask you today, are you without pasture? Are you in a place without pasture? A lot of people are so miserable. I guess the older I get, the more I realize it. But I see people all the time, they're miserable and they don't even know why. They're so miserable. They're without pasture. They just have no peace of God whatsoever in their lives. Brother Charles Ingenius and I was out visiting yesterday. It was interesting. This young lady come to the door. I don't know whether she was a daughter or the mother. I never did find that out. But I got to talking to her a little bit about the Lord. And we asked her, said, "Now, are you born again? Are you saved? If you died, would you go to heaven?" "Oh, yes, she is." "Oh, yes, I am," she said. And I said, "Well, when did you get saved?" She said, "When I was born." Now, you know, in all seriousness, though, I mean, I wanted to kind of laugh myself, but I didn't. She said, "When I was born." And so we explained a little bit about the new birth, how that she had to be born again, and she's eyes was wide open. I mean, she's a fine young lady. She just didn't know. She's just without pasture and didn't understand. She promised me she'd read the literature. She just was kind of wanting to get on her way, but she thought she was saved because she's born. You get born again, you sure be saved. You know, there's a lot of people out there without pasture. You see, they don't have any godly pasture. And I don't want to spend the rest of my life not telling them about it. Too many people out there, too many folk out there in houses all over the place that just without pasture. And they need somebody to tell them. Don't you agree with that? I mean, they need somebody to encourage them and tell them, "No, it wasn't when you was born. It was when you born again." Amen. I didn't look down on that lady. I felt sorry for her. And I just, in my heart, I said, "Lord, save her. Use that material. Do something to stir her heart to her need of Christ. She needs pasture." There's folk probably in this place right here today with a crowd this big that needs pasture. Probably so. Probably somebody probably needs some pasture this morning. Need to be called out of old Satan's grazing stock and come on to the pasture of the Lord, you see. That's what Lodibar means. See, he was down in Lodibar without pasture. Didn't have anything down there. See, that's where he was, you see. Jesus said, "Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again." He told the lady at the well that. See, he's down there pasturing, grazing on Satan's land. But you see, that's what this woman at the well was doing. "I'll just drink of this water, that water in that well." "Yeah, but you'll thirst again if you drink of that water." "No, no, no, you need to drink of the water that I will give you," Jesus is saying. See, that's the only water to you any good. That's the only water to anybody any good. It's the water that Jesus gives, you see. And Jesus, you know, he the Bible says, "Ye who were sometimes afar off," folk without Christ are afar off. I mean, they're far off. They're off in a place where there's no pasture. You see, and they need to be called from that pasture to the place where God has for them. Amen? Sure. So we find then in verse number 5 of chapter 9, he says, "Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar." You notice here the king's invitation. The invitation is to come on up here to Jerusalem. Come on up and see the king. You see, he gave him an invitation, and let me say to you, no man can come to Jesus except the Father which draw him. See, no man can do that. And it's got to be an invitation from the Savior, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And I'm saying to you, Jesus will give you an invitation. He's given an invitation now. He's opened it up for you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to the King of Kings. Amen. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. You see, in Matthew 11th chapter, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What did he say? I'll give you rest. He said, but you got to come to me. See, Jesus gives the invitation, folk. Listen to me. If you're not saved today, if you're not saved, you're not born again, don't you think you ought to come to Jesus? I mean, should not you come to Jesus? You're not going to get to him any other way. You got to come to him. He's drawing you. He's inviting you to come. But you got to come to him. You got to make that decision, you see. And you notice there, it wasn't Mephibosheth's worthiness that made things right. It was the invitation of the king. You see, he didn't look down and just see Mephibosheth and said, okay, you're a pretty good guy. No, it was the invitation of the king which he gives to all of us. See, he gave me an invitation in 1966 to come to him. Greatest thing I ever done. I'm not very smart, but that was the smartest thing I ever done. I mean, that's smart. That's what you call smart. When you listen to the king and respond to the king and come to him at his invitation, you see. So we find then in verse number 6 of chapter 9, he says, and now then Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David. He fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. I want you to notice the attitude of Mephibosheth. He come with a humility in his heart. Now listen to me. Listen to this preacher. I've been preaching for about 36 years. You're not going to come to Jesus in pride. You may think you're going to come to the Lord Jesus with pride in your heart. You might as well forget it. He don't accept that. You come in humility, as Mephibosheth did. He come in humility before the Lord. Remember back when you got saved, did you come in humility before the Lord? Did you come as a servant rather than somebody trying to make a deal with the king? Mephibosheth did not come trying to make a deal with King David. He come willingly and openly and as a servant. He said, behold thy servant. Here I am, thy servant. Amen. And you didn't come, you're not going to come to Jesus with old pride in your heart. Willingness to say to him, Lord, here am I. I don't have anything. I don't have anything to offer, but here I am. Amen. So that's the way you got to come to Jesus. See? Have you come to Jesus that way? A lot of people come trying to make a deal with Jesus. Right. They want to make a deal with him. You know what? I'll come my way. You save me, and I'll just do the best I can. I'll do. No. You come to Jesus. You realize you're an old lost sinner. We'll find that out here in a minute. You need Christ. That's the way you come to Jesus. Don't make a deal with him. He don't make deals. Amen. He said back in Jeremiah, come now, let us reason together. I want to tell you something. A lot of people think, well, he's wanting to reason with you and we'll come to a compromise. That's not what he's saying. Oh, no. He's saying, you come to me and I'll reason to you why you ought to go my way. Yes. Amen. See, it's only his way. It's not your way. It's his way. It's Jesus' way, you see. That's why Mephibosheth come. He's such a wonderful picture of a sinner coming to Jesus. Humility in his heart. Amen. Coming, say, no, I'm the servant. Whatever you want. Amen. You see. Then in verse number 8, look what he says. And he said, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? You notice here he recognized his condition. Are you hearing me? Folks, we got to recognize our condition. What are we? Old Mephibosheth said, I'm just an old dead dog. When you come to Christ, in that time when you claim as your salvation, did you come in pride and saying, well, here I am, you're getting a good bargain? Or did you come as an old dead dog? That's what we are. It's an old dead dog. I remember that story. I love that in Luke 5th chapter, Luke. I love that story of that leper. that come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was full of leprosy. I've thought about that so many times. I get pictures from Brother Tillman, you know, from over there working in Mongolia and all those places over there, and the pictures of these lepers. And I can't imagine what that man must have looked like back then when Jesus met that man. The Bible said he was full of leprosy. I take that to mean he just had it all over him. And he said, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And if you notice before that, you know what that guy, you know what he did? He bowed down before the Lord, on his face before the Lord. And he said, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Amen. And now think about this. Most of us would have jumped back probably, looking at that old leprous man, not wanting to touch him, not wanting much to do with him, you know. But no, Jesus, the Bible said, touched him and said, I will be thou clean.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. That's rich. That's sweet. 1966, that's what I did. I knelt before the Lord. No, I didn't realize probably how bad I was, but I said, Lord, I'm an old sinner. I could have said, I'm just full of leprosy, because that's what in the Bible it means. It's a type of sin. And Lord, I'm just full of sin, and here I am. And you know what? He could have just, you know, most people would have just jumped back and said, I don't want anything to do with this old sinful person. But no, he touched me and made me whole. I will be thou whole, Bob Ross. Amen. Gave me eternal life. You can't beat that. You see, but you got to know your condition. You got to know your condition. As old Mephibosheth said, I'm just an old dead dog. Boy, we don't want to say that, do we? Huh? I'm just an old dead dog. Why are you fooling around with me, King? What do you want anything to do with me? I'm just an old dead dog. No, we're walking around like this. No, no, no. You've got to get some humility about you if you want to get saved. If you want to come to Christ, you're going to have to come humbly before the Lord, recognizing your condition, you see. Now look what he said in verse number 7. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. That's what Jesus, he may not have said those words to him, but that's what he was saying. He said, don't you fear. He said, I'll do it for Jesus' sake. I'll save you.
Amen.
I'll just do it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Not because you're worthy. And he said, fear not. Oh, I like those two words. You look that up in the Bible, you find how many times God said, fear not, in the Bible. It's interesting. You know why he put it in there? Because he knew we would. He said, don't worry about it, Mephibosheth. I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to fear. It's okay. Amen. I'm saying to you, that's what Jesus says to us. When we put our faith and trust in him, just fear not. It's okay. I'll take care of it. He's the only one that can take care of it. And he does. Verse number 7 also, notice. He said, I will surely, surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. Listen to what he says. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Not only does God tell us to fear not, he said, I've got an inheritance for you. I got something I'm going to give you. I want to tell you something. He gives unto us eternal life. The inheritance, it gives us heaven. The promise of heaven. You can't get any better than that. Heaven, you read about that. That's a marvelous place. Wonderful thing. And God says, I'll give you that inheritance forever and ever and ever. You'll be there with me forever and ever and ever. Amen? Yeah, inheritance that God gave you. And then also look at verse number 11. And he says, then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. I like that. He become as a son. I got saved in 1966. I become one of God's sons.
Amen.
You say, Brother Ross, you're not worthy to be a son. I know it. It's what makes it nice. But I become a son anyway, whether you think I'm worthy or not. Become a son of God. And you did too if you get saved. becomes, just think about that, a son of God. I lived quite a few years as son of Walter and Lena Ross, you see. But I want to tell you, and that's sweet. I'm glad of that. I'm glad I had those parents, but they're nothing like the, being the son of God. Amen? And that's what Mephibosheth, well, he come and live as a son of God, as son of the king here, see. Now, folks, listen, don't you want to be in on that? Don't you want to be sure that you're a son of God? And enjoy the fact that you're God's son, you see. Look at what else he says in verse 11 there. He says, and he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. You know what he's promised? Not only is he promised inheritance, has he promised him sonship, he promises us provision. Now, I don't know about you. I can't say about you. But I know what the Bible says. And there's never been a time in my life that God has not met this fellow's need. He's always went far above my need. But he's always met my need. He has yours too, if you're a child of God. No, he's met it. Maybe not all your wants, but he's met your needs. It's promise. It's his provision. He takes care of his children. Amen? Always takes care of his children. Don and I have been on a long journey, 36-year journey. Been a long one. We go back over those years, and we think about it, and we think about where we've been, what God's done for us, and you're just amazed. You're just absolutely amazed of how God has taken care of you. It's an amazement.
Amen.
It's tremendous. Protected you, took care of you, provided for you. Oh, it's marvelous. I still remember us being out in Cambridge, and we got that letter. You know, I forget sometimes. It was either Nancy Hutchison or the Loftons, and I cannot remember. Do you have any trouble? I can't remember, but anyway, one of them sent us 5 $1 bills in the mail. And I think at that time it was a sacrifice to them. And they sent that to us. I just can't remember for sure. But, you know, Don and I, we really needed that $5. I mean, you may not understand, but we needed that $5. And I want to tell you something else. It just rejoiced our heart that they would think about us. Now, God, when he provides, most of the time uses people to provide through. You understand that? Be a provider. Be a channel for God.
Yes.
Be a channel for God. Help folk. Be a blessing. See, don't be so selfish.
Right.
Amen? So we find that the king here, he provided. He said, he's going to eat at my table. Amen? For the rest of his life. And I can say, I've been eating at God's table for a long time. Amen? Yeah, we have. Been eating at God's table. And he's provided. And so then also look at one other thing I want you to see in chapter 9, verse 13. I want you to listen to this. He says, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. I want to tell you what I get a picture of when I see this. Here I see the great big long banquet table of the king. I don't know how big it was, but I have a feeling it was a long, big old banquet table. And you walk into that banquet place there, and you see old Mephibosheth sitting over there. And what's good about it is, he's got his feet underneath the table. No one knows he's lame. No one can see it. He's got his feet. Here he is sitting up there just proud as a peacock, sitting at the king's table. And no one even knows his feet is lame. Now, if they knew him, they probably would. But any new person wouldn't even know. He's just sitting there just getting ready to eat a great banquet. Well, I want to tell you something. 1966, I put my feet under the king's table, Lord Jesus' table. And my sin was washed away. No one know about all my lameness and sin. God washed it away, done away with it. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important when we get saved and we sit at the king's table that they don't see our lame feet. The world don't need to see our lame feet. They don't need to see that sin that we had forgiven and washed away and cleansed. It's got to be different. It's got to be new. Amen. And I'm very thankful when Mephibosheth there, sitting there just so proud, glad to be there, lame feet stuck under the table of the king. Amen. Don't even recognize that he's lame. That's the way Jesus did me. Took away my lameness and took away my sin and washed me clean, made me new and whole again. Amen. Bible says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Imagine that, for the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame. Now listen to me. When you get saved, you're supposed to live a holy life. People get all excited about salvation, and well, you should, but we ought to get excited about holiness. Amen. You ought to see the lame feet. You ought to be hid from the world and covered by the blood of Jesus and gone out of our life. You agree with that? So don't just stop with salvation. Don't just say, okay, I'm saved. Praise God, I'm saved. Now, how about holiness? Let's live for God so that the world can see someone that is showing forth the wonderful grace of God in our life. Amen. Mephibosheth, you're a good example of someone who gets saved. He was lame of feet. How about you this morning? Where are you at? What kind of condition are you in? Have you ever been truly born again? You ever been truly saved? Washed in the blood of Jesus? Have you ever truly been born again? And if not, wouldn't this be a wonderful time to put your faith and trust in Christ and get saved, become God's child, receive the invitation of the King of Kings to come to him? Wouldn't that be good? That'd be a right thing to do. Amen. Now, if you are saved, maybe this message has helped encourage you to get on the right side. Get doing the right things. We talked in Sunday school this morning, crossing old River Jordan, getting in the life of maturity for Christ. Amen. Amen. Quit staying out there in the wilderness as a Christian. No, get over in maturity. Amen. And show forth that God's done something for you. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. This morning you say, Brother Ross, no doubt in my mind, I know for sure that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He is my Savior. I'm born again. If I died, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. If so, will you just raise your hand, please? Raise your hand. I'm sure I'd go to heaven. Put your hands down. You say, Brother Ross, I could not raise my hand. I am not sure of salvation. There's been a time in my life when I've had some kind of a religious experience. I've done those kind of things, but I'm not sure I'm saved. Not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But would you pray for me, Brother Ross? Not going to embarrass you, not going to do anything like that, but you just want me to pray for you. Just raise your hand right now. Just raise your hand. Put it up. Say, I need you to pray for me. I'm not sure of salvation. All right. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. We'll speak to you in a minute here. Someone else, not sure of salvation, not sure that I'm saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful truth of your word concerning your invitation to each and every one of us to be saved, to be born again. Now, Father, I ask that the will of God be done. That one that raised their hand, I pray, oh God, have the courage to step forward and put their faith and trust in Jesus. And be born again. Now, Father, the will of God be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.